Isn't Acme?
海の海を飲み干す日々は Isn't
Radio? Acme Nippon Air
auf der Radiofabrik Salzburg.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Acme Nippon Air hier auf der Radiofabrik Salzburg. Alles wird falsch eingestellt, aber egal. Wir switchen übrigens gleich mal ins Englische rüber, weil heute ist die Sendung auf Englisch, nur so als Information. So, hello and welcome to Acme Nippon Air today on the 23rd of November 2017 here on the Radio Factory Salzburg. Yeah, why English? Because I have a really good and great interview together with Mr. Jailis, Mr. Peter Pan here on the Radio Factory, because yeah, we will talk about everything related to being a gaijin in Japan. So, and because we don't have much time, I say we start directly into the interview part one. So, welcome to the show, and let's start with the interview. I have with me Peter Payne. Some of my listeners here know we have already had the opportunity to with you, because we have had two interviews. One where you have talked about J-List and one where we have talked about Sweets. It was quite a nice show. Just for introduction, you are the CEO and owner of J-List and Jest USA. Those are companies in Japan which are bringing merchandise to us otakus in the world.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Today we want to talk about a little bit different things. I've asked you if we could talk about a little bit how it is to live in Japan. Because you are nowadays the CEO of Jellys, but you are from the States originally.
Yep, that's right.
How have you come to Japan?
So basically, the standard sort of thing of my generation was to sort of discover animation on TV. In my case, it was Speed Racer. There was a show called Kimba the White Lion. And then, of course, the great Star Blazers, which was Battlestar or Space Battleship Yamato. And I sort of was called to anime really early on. And then in college, I said, okay, well, I have to study some foreign language. I guess I'll study Japanese. And I turned out to, I guess, have an aptitude for it. It was a lot of fun. So I said, well, I want to go to live in Japan. I'll go there for a year. And, of course, the way the world works is things you intend to opposite will happen. So I came, enjoyed my time as a teacher, and then met my wife. And so, things, of course, took a much different turn than I expected. But yeah, it's been really nice. And I think, obviously, like a lot of people go to some other country to live. Certainly Japan has a very low number of negatives about being a foreigner living here. And I think other people I've talked to, we had two web designers from France, and they were both saying, yes, Japan is very easy to live in. There's no issue. There's no, sort of the stress that might come if you're in a European country and you've changed countries or something like that. That's not a big issue here. So I think there's a lot of positives to living here.
Yeah, well, you don't have to look for the taxes and so on in two countries. Also, you have, because you have an American company too.
Some things are better, some things are worse, as with most things in the world.
Oh, from your personal experience, you already said that you have moved to Japan and then met your wife. How xenophobic are the Japanese people? We are always hearing they are so xenophobic, and especially you're living in the countryside, because Jellies is not in Tokyo or so, it's in Gunma Prefecture. How is the difference?
Gunma is like 100 kilometers north of Tokyo. If you put your finger on the center of the country, that's basically our house. And so we're in a place, it's not extremely rural. We have three cities that are like 250,000. So it's, you know, sort of in the middle between being truly rural and then, you know, like Tokyo. So it's really nice. It's been really good. Of course, land is very cheap. So it's easy for us to say as our company, okay, we need to make a warehouse so we can buy this land and we can build a warehouse on it. So that's been very good for us, using the power of the internet, because it doesn't matter where you are. You don't need to be in a big city. So one of the issues I think that I wanted to talk about was, it's really hard to judge any country anyway, unless you live there. But anytime you're far from that country, and of course, far distance refers to geography, but also just cultural distance. You know, it's real hard to judge, because you're basically judging based on like impressions that you have. If you say, hey, what about Korea or what about France or whatever, where unless we know 10 people from those places and we can say, wow, they're really, based on this experience that I have, they're really this way or they're really that way. You know, you're sort of picking up like urban legends and stuff like that. So are the Japanese xenophobic? I would really say, you know, obviously everyone is human and everyone sort of has a comfort level with, you know, the people around them. And Japan is a kind of a unique place, because it's like 98%, you know, are Japanese. And then the rest of us are, you know, the biggest group is Koreans or Chinese who were born here, but who maintain a separate passport and a separate identity, even though they're actually just the same as Japanese people. They grow up here, they speak Japanese, but then they also speak Korean, or they have an identity that I am a North Korean, but I live in Japan and I speak Japanese and I just go to school, or I'm a South Korean or North Korean or whatever. And then there's people like me, really quite a small number, though. It's like under 1% for the foreigners who came from outside. But anyway, so I mean, obviously Japan has, if there's a lot of foreigners in an area, they might be a little nervous or whatever. But I think definitely they're very, very, of course, they're very polite. So you're never going to have a discomfort type of thing. Right now, Japan is experiencing a massive boom in tourism. And so literally the place is awash with foreigners from every country you can imagine. And literally, they're just very, very polite, very, very happy to have everyone here. In Japan, when you are a guest, you are special. I mean, you are okyakusan. You're just, no matter what you do, literally to the point that actually you don't have to follow the social rules, because you're different. You're a foreigner, which to me is a problem, because I'm a full-time person living here. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to follow the rules, and I want to be, you know, accepted as much as possible. So I get a little annoyed that there are so many foreigners, just foreign visitors in Japan these days. They assume I am a foreign visitor, and then, but I can speak Japanese. And they're like, oh, wow, you speak Japanese so well. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I run a business. It's kind of funny. It's like being told, well, you can use chopsticks. Well, of course I can use chopsticks. I've been here 25 years. Why wouldn't I? So it gets to be quite funny. Yeah, but anyway, Japanese are not really xenophobic. You know, they're very welcoming to just anybody. But then, of course, there's like politeness. So like they're welcoming and polite to anybody. But then if you move there, of course, then you're a little bit different, because you're living in the neighborhood, you know, expected to take your trash out on the proper day and follow the rules and things like that. And that's, you know, that's just normal and part of life.
So they expect from you as a founder, when you want to live there all the time, that you behave like a Japanese person and not that you say, hey, I'm from America, I don't do it in my country.
Right, yeah. You should always pay close attention to what is going on around you and do that. And if people are being quiet while they walk down the street rather than shouting, you should probably be quiet rather than shouting. You know, for example, just sort of anytime you're in a country, pay close attention to the people around you and sort of do that, and you'll be fine. And that's really a humility thing, especially if you plan on staying. If you're going to go there for, you know, a week, it doesn't really matter. But if you're saying, like, me and my wife are interested in going to Spain someday, so to live for like 5 or 10 years when we retire, and so you can bet we'll be, you know, paying close attention to whatever sort of the region we take an interest in, and make sure that we feel right with the people there and vice versa. Otherwise, we would pick some other place. So, I mean, that's just good manners.
Yeah, when you're in Rome, do it like the Romans, so let's say. You are nowadays the CEO of JList. This is a company which exports, as we know, anime merchandise to fans around the world. And Jest USA, this was your first company, when I remember, because you first planned to translate visual novels to English and then bring it to the USA.
Basically, it was 1995, the Netscape IPO sort of defined the internet bubble. Netscape went public in 1984, and so it was just a really different world. And I literally said to my wife, this is amazing, we have to do something. And sort of as a side business, I had been basically just like I would go to some CD shop and I would pick up a bunch of CDs and I would make a big list in Excel and say, okay, I've got this person's CD. And of course, Japanese CDs are still really expensive. They cost like $30 or $40. So I could go find them for, you know, $5 and then sell them for $8. And so it was this amazing way that people all around the world could finally buy Japanese music without having to pay these ridiculous prices, because the prices never really came down in Japan. So that was sort of our beginning. And then I just sort of realized, well, this is kind of neat. We could be doing this. Meanwhile, on the other side, I discovered these interesting games that people would download and play, and they were in Japanese and they couldn't read them, but they would just click, click, click until some boobs come up. And that was sort of fun. And I slowly realized, well, this is an opportunity too. We can, you know, find some company that'll work with us, and then we can bring out the games, translate them into English, bring them out in a proper form. And we thought, well, that'll take about a year to get going because it's a new thing. Of course, the idea of it, it's an adult game. Most of the games are adults, not all of them, of course. But so the idea of an adult game company, you know, how would distribution work? And so we had to work all that out. So we figured it would take a year. And to tide us over, we made JList just for like a year. And then we'll just do games instead of JList. Well, of course, JList proved to be the much more successful company.
So JList, the name comes because you made an Excel list.
Yep. It's a big list called the Japan list. And then we just shortened it to JList when we made our actual company. And that was in 96. So I've been doing this for longer than some of your listeners, I think, have been alive. Yeah.
I guess so, too. Is it difficult for a foreign owner of a company in Japan to work there? Or are there many non-Japanese CEO and company owners in Japan?
Actually, I mean, it's not really that rare. I mean, I had a friend who worked at a print shop that was owned by an American, and this was like 25 years ago. So, I mean, it's not that rare. We had a double whammy of me being a foreigner and my wife being a woman. Actually, she's the president, not me. I'm the sort of chief operating officer. And that was a bit rare in a rural place where we are. So to have a woman and a foreigner saying, okay, we're going to start a business. Hey, bank, give us a loan. Okay, we've got this land. We're going to build our office on this land. We're going to do these things. We had to obviously prove ourselves along the way. Of course, that's really with anything. You know, you have a bank, you don't have much trust with them. And then as you sort of prove that you can have profits and you can build a customer and you have your balance sheet that they check and things like that, then over time they were like, okay, you guys are really, really successful. And so now we have a lot of trust with our bank. But it was certainly an interesting thing. Of course, we had to show the bank and show the various companies that we have relationships with that, yes, we are an ongoing thing. Yes, we're able to be worthy of working with, like, companies like Nitro Plus. That's the company that made Super Sonico. They made Cyan Uta, which is a very nice Cthulhu horror game that's real famous. They made Steins Gate. Mm-hmm. And so one of the great successes of ours was to be able to work with them. And of course, we had to prove that we were worthy of working with them. So we had to do that first game, make sure it went well, make sure we did a good job on the translation, make sure the fans had a positive reaction. Then we do the second game, then we do the third game. So, I mean, it was a slow process, and that's why it takes so long. Like, why can't we bring out games faster? Well, we have to do this one first. We have to show that it's a success. The customers rewarded our efforts by buying the game, and then we can do the next game, then we can do the next game. So that's sort of the way it works, especially in Japan, where you've got to just prove that you're worthy of the word trust, which is, in Japanese, it's shindai. And so if you have shindai, then you have a lot. And if you don't have it for some reason, then you gave up a lot.
I can imagine. I mean, we see it with every anime DVD publisher, right? How long does it take to get in specific enemies. I mean, we have enemies like Detective Conan, really successful in all the world, also in Europe, and they have taken 10 years to get the DVD rights. It's crazy.
Some of that is just really bad processes in Japan. I mean, there's some really bad stuff about Japan where they're very, very conservative and they don't want to make a mistake. And so they would rather, literally, like, one problem we have to do is, if there's 99% upside, but there's 1% chance of some big problem, that'll be what they'll focus on. And so for us as a company, we're say, well, don't worry about it. We're going to make that stupid 1% down to zero. You know, they'll be like, well, we'll publish this game and people will buy it. But what if one person in Tennessee objects to the content or doesn't like the character design or whatever? And so that's why we have to just, well, that's okay. That'll be our responsibility, not your responsibility. We'll set up the contracts that way. This is very funny. They do things, they succeed in spite of themselves, really. Only the greatness of the stories that they tell and the characters and the uniqueness that it happens to have with the rest of us, because we're coming from countries where we don't have quality animation about compelling stories and, you know, really neat kinds of characters that we are really drawn to. If they didn't do that so well, we wouldn't all be here, I think.
Yeah, this unsureness characteristic of Japanese culture is really specific, I would guess. So, and after the next song, we will have the news in German, dear listeners. So, you don't want to hear me saying this new stuff in English. But now, Ignited, Gundam Seed Destiny, opening Team Revolution. Es ist 23.30 37 in Japan, Ohio, Gusamas. Shinzo Abe gerät weiter in Bedrängnis wegen Landverkauf an ultranationale Schule. Der Hochzeitstermin von Prinzessin Mako wurde bekannt gegeben und die Waifu-Gleichstellung kommt voran. Eine Untersuchung zu den Landverkäufern an eine internationale Schule hat ergeben, dass die großen Preisreduktionen für das Land, das die Schule von der Stadt Osaka erworben hat, nicht gerechtfertigt waren. Laut der Untersuchung haben die Ermäßigungen auf der Annahme bestanden, dass das Gebiet stark kontaminiert sei und rund 20.000 Tonnen Industrieabfall hätten entfernt werden müssen, zu einem Preis von rund 800 Millionen Yen. Die Menge an Abfall betrug aber wahrscheinlich nur rund die Hälfte. Die Opposition geht nun umso mehr davon aus, dass die Preismäßigung vor allem damit begründet gewesen sei, dass die Frau von Shinzo Abe, Akie Abe, im Vorstand der Schule tätig gewesen ist. Der Hochzeitstermin für Prinzessin Mako und ihrem Verlobten Kei Kumuro wurde bekannt gegeben. Laut dem imperialen Haus wird die Hochzeit nächstes Jahr am 4. November stattfinden und auch Tenno Akihito, dann noch im Amt, wird ihr beiwohnen. Am 4. November ist ein offizielles Verlobungsritual geplant. Die Hochzeit soll an einem Sonntag stattfinden, da der Ehemann es so besser mit seiner Anwaltskanzlei abstimmen kann. Man merkt, auch wenn man eine Prinzessin heiratet, gibt es dann immer noch weltliche Verpflichtungen. Der Zeichner Nobuhiro Nishikawaki, der viel eher unter dem Nachnamen Watsuki bekannt sein dürfte, besonders bekannt ist er für seine Serie Rurouni Kenshin, ist wegen dem Besitz von Kinderpornografie angeklagt. Der 47-Jährige hat die Anschuldigung gestanden und den Polizisten in einer Stellungnahme erklärt, er würde vor allem junge Mädchen im Alter zwischen 12 und 16 Jahren attraktiv finden. In seinem Büro waren DVDs mit Videos von nackten Mädchen im Alter unter 15 Jahren entdeckt worden. Der Manga Rurouni Kenshin wird derzeit nicht mehr fortgesetzt, so der Publisher Shueisha, aufgrund von tiefer Seelensuche des Autors. So kann man es auch nennen. Und noch eine niedliche News aus Japan. Eine Firma in Akihabara namens Gatebox hat einen speziellen temporären Service für ihre Angestellten eingeführt. Diese können bis Anfang Dezember eine Heiratsurkunde für ihr Waifu einreichen und dafür einen Lohnzuschuss von 5.000 Yen pro Monat sowie einen freien Tag am Geburtstag ihres Waifus erhalten. Damit werden 2D-Mädchen von der Firma endlich gleichgeschlechtlichen oder interspeziellen, sprich tierischen Partnern gleichgestellt. Für die ist bereits Ähnliches möglich. Wir kommen zum Wetter. Das Wetter für Tokio und Japan: am Freitag wird es mit 12 Grad in Tokio wechselhaft mit sonnigen Abschnitten. Im Norden in Sapporo kühl mit 2 Grad, im Westen wärmer mit 10 bis 11 Grad. Der Samstag wird sonnig und mit 1 Grad im Norden und 10 bis 12 Grad im restlichen Japan. In Tokio werden es 12 Grad werden. Wechselhaftes Wetter kommt am Sonntag ins Land: in Sapporo graupel bei 4 Grad, Regen im Westen bei 14 Grad und Sonne bei 16 Grad in Tokio. Die weiteren Aussichten: am Montag kühler mit 9 bis 14 Grad, aber trocken, im Norden frostige minus 1 Grad. Der Dienstag ist sonnig und wärmer, die Temperaturen 14 bis 17 Grad, im Norden 6 Grad. Der Mittwoch bleibt sonnig, die Temperaturen steigen nur leicht auf maximal 18 Grad. Und am Donnerstag kommt von Westen ein neues Regenband, im Rest von Japan trocken, die Temperaturen 10 bis 16 Grad. You're listening to Hackman Debonair on the Radio Factory Salzburg, and we have the next part of the Peter Payne interview. We will now talk about his employers. Is it then difficult for you to get employees sometimes? Are Japanese people, or sometimes are foreign people, suspicious about jailers, about a company not run by a Japanese person?
Really, I don't think so. It's the age of the internet, so obviously it's not the old days where we would expect a very narrow bandwidth of type of person. Now that we say, okay, we're going to hire a web designer, and we don't care if you're from, you know, France or Japan or Korea, or the current guy that we have is comes from Malaysia. So, I mean, it's a very open thing, and it's really cool. I mean, you've got opportunities for so many people. Specifically, like, we expect that Japan and Japanese people will tend to be behind the curve. So if we want up to the current cutting edge of web design, we actually, obviously, if there's a Japanese designer who could do those things, that would be fine. But we tend to assume that it won't be a Japanese person. It'll be someone from the West who will probably have the skills we need. And so we do our web design. We do like our back end design in America, and then some design here in Japan. You know, there's some areas where Japan is not quite up to the skill level they need to be, which actually provides a lot of opportunity. I have a blog post on my blog, which is jlist.com/blog, where I basically talk about a way to come to Japan. If you want to come to Japan and live or work, one approach you can do is to really beef up your skills in the cutting edge technical areas, which means obviously mobile app design, things like that, anything related to the mobile web, computer languages, probably Bitcoin, things like that. If you have computer skills related to those things, those people are very much in demand right now in Japan. So that's something where anyone listening who says, well, I'd really like to work in Japan, well, develop a portfolio of really cutting edge design related to, you know, the things that are going to be popular right now. Obviously, it's very technical stuff that will be in demand. And then you can come to Japan and probably find that you'll be in demand more than the average Japanese person. So that's one opportunity where anyone who wants to come to Japan can probably find some success, I think. Unfortunately, Japanese just assume that anyone who is going to come to work in that type of field will have a four-year college degree. And so if you don't have a degree, it becomes really hard to get a visa. The problem, because I gather not all, a lot of Europeans are just like, why would I get a degree? That's not necessarily the best route for me. And of course, it isn't for some people. Unfortunately, Japan, it's kind of a sticking area. It's a better idea to get a degree, and it can be any degree. You can be a history major as long as you have that piece of paper, and then you're doing web design, or then you're doing language teaching, or then you're doing editing, whatever. All they care about is that paper that proves that you were able to focus on something for this number of years.
I see. So I could be an audio technician in Japan easily, sure, just with my degree. Yeah, because the thing is that especially informatics here in Europe are always saying, when a company hires me, I don't finish my degree. This is normal here.
As long as you get the paper, I think in Japan it's the same. A lot of times you'll get hired and then you'll start working like 6 months early, even though you're still officially a student. So that's, but in the end, you're still getting units because you're doing stuff related to your degree in the form of working for this company. And that's the goal, of course, of education. So I think there's a lot of flexibility there as long as you have the paper and the university is accredited.
Your staff is quite diverse, as I hear. How is the working climate then with such a mix of cultures?
We have mostly Japanese people, like all the buyers are Japanese. We have a guy from the Philippines, a guy from Malaysia, and then me. And then in America, we have our staff who do different things like game-related stuff or web development stuff. And we work together. We use this program called Slack, which is just, it's chatting, but you're chatting in channels and you're saying, okay, working on this game now, and I ask a question here and everyone working on that game will see that question. It's an amazing tool. So we're doing more with the web than we ever thought possible. We have, you know, translators and editors in Tokyo and Russia and Norway and just all over the roads. It's really neat to be so international. So we just all just roll with it and do our jobs and do a good job, I think. And it's been really fun to be involved with the web for this 21-year period and to go from the one thing that was around when we were around was Skype, actually. And like, oh, wow, you can do like, you know, calling through the web. That's neat. So we were always really using those technologies really, really hard to get the maximum benefit. And so back in the days when Japanese companies would have been calling you on the phone and incurring, you know, a lot of long distance costs, the idea that long distance phone call was a word and now it doesn't even exist anymore. Well, that was a big deal back when we started. So, you know, now, of course, from the web has disrupted everything. The web has done a lot of good. It's also caused a lot of harm for industries where they just disappeared overnight. But anyway, it's always been a challenge and a fun challenge to us to use the web as much as possible to, you know, obviously get customers. We're interacting with people on social media all the time, but also just to make our business more efficient so we can all do more with less effort and stuff. So it's really fun.
Now the next part with the interview, we'll talk a little bit more about, working for JList and working in Japan.
So basically, when we go to hire someone, obviously we want them to have certain skills related to what we're going to be working with, depending on whatever our needs are. Like for the Japanese buyers, they have to become familiar with whatever they're going to be in charge of. Like the toy and snack guy, he has to understand, you know, the basic trends, and these shows are popular, so we have to carry these things. But of course, they never have all the knowledge they need, so they have to sort of figure out how to get the knowledge. And then sort of my job as I'm the blogger, so I'm the guy who writes the posts about J-List, and just I'll say, well, here's a post about these shows that are popular this anime season, or sort of what's happening in Tokyo or some political thing in Tokyo. So people can sample different areas of Japan and then come to know it better. But like, it's really important to know, in our particular case, just to know what our customers want, what's really important to our customers. And so like, there's this guy, he actually had really good English skills and he had worked for Amazon in America. And we were like, oh, this is great, we'll hire him, a Japanese guy. But he didn't know anything about anime. And it was just like, well, how can I explain the importance of the word, you know, waifu? Well, this is the 2D character who we all obsess over this season. And it was just not going to happen for me to explain so this guy would come to understand so that he could work with us. And then the graphics guy from Malaysia, on the job question thing, I said, who is the best waifu of 2016? And he said, well, of course, it's Rem from ReZero. And so it was really funny. You're like, okay, you're hired, you know. Information is really important. When you're in business, you come to understand that to know a thing or to not know a thing and at a certain time is a very, very valuable thing. And so that's why it's real important to always be up on it, you know, information, and these are the trends, and you have to get out ahead of stuff. You can't be reacting 3 years later. So it's a challenge.
Yeah, that's true. I have some classic fans, but I don't think that many of them are interested in the less important movie animes of 2013 anymore.
Yeah.
Or perhaps they are, I don't know. Some fans are really crazy.
Yeah, I'm famous for being this, everyone calls me senpai on social media, and I'll write about, you know, anime that's on the air right now because I'm trying to be a bridge between everyone and the anime industry to get them on board, get them watching the shows that are being made so that the industry can get some benefit from it because they need money. That the salaries are really, really low in the anime industry. Don't work in the anime industry, just to let everyone know. It's not worth it. Don't do it. No, I'm not kidding. But anyway, it's just so much information and it's so hard to know. And what I hate is I assume a show isn't going to go do well and then it does well and they're like, crap, I should have been watching it and promoting it. So I'm always trying to make sure I don't miss the important shows that people are going to react to. And then, of course, since we're an anime merchandise company, I try to understand the shows that are going to get figures because we need to sell something to make a living. So hopefully I can get you into a show and then a figure will come out and you can buy the figure from us and that'll be cool. And everyone will be happy from that.
I guess now it's the best way to, after I say goodbye, to bring the opening of Kimono Fans.
Someone get your time.
When somebody would think, damn, I want to move to Japan, what would you advise him in just out of getting a college degree? And what tips or warning do you have for those 20 or 30% of the anime fans that want to go to Japan just for living or for working?
Yeah, so as I said before, obviously you need to have a skill that is in demand. If you can learn web design or computer programming or something that's on the leading edge, that's very good. But I was really surprised. Like, I met a guy, we were considering hiring him and we didn't end up hiring him, but he was this German guy and he's working for a company that does printing and like anime wraparounds for cars. And then they'll do a lot of different things. So like a big promotion for a movie, they'll have this company make like a giant wraparound for a bus or something like that to promote the movie. And so this German guy just does sales, and he just, not like related to the web, he just calls up the Japanese clients. And of course he speaks really good Japanese. And then he says, hey, I've got these products. We're going to send out these catalogs. Would you like to look at this or that, the other thing? And he's just doing a normal Japanese salaryman job, but in a Japanese company. And I was kind of floored by that. Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, you can come to Japan and you can work in a business field that like JList is, where we're selling to people outside, or we're in a highly technical field. But this is a guy who just came and sort of became a salesman promoting, different products just in a normal Japanese industry. So I would say anything is possible, and you'll find an environment. They'll think great things of you if you speak Japanese and if you're able to function and perform some job in Japan. And I think there'll be the opportunities there. And so it's something to really consider. On the other hand, not everyone is going to be happy here, because it is, especially like JList, we're a flexible company. We understand we're all human beings. We're going to have fun, make money, make our customers happy in that order. So, I mean, we go to conventions, we do fun things that we like to do. We laugh with our customers, we cry with our customers when there's a sad anime, and we're really chill. But I think like the average Japanese company, you might find that maybe the environment is a lot more work oriented than especially it might be in Europe, where you've got a better work balance. So again, like, your mileage may vary. That's a word they always say in American car commercials. In a Japanese company, or in general, anybody from Europe wanting to come to work in Japan might find an amazing amount of choice. You might find amazing, just a really fun environment. On the other hand, you might be expected to work more than you thought could be expected of a person, because that's sort of the local atmosphere here, especially possibly in Tokyo. We're not in Tokyo, so we're a little more rice fields all around us. It's really funny. So anyway, there's a lot of opportunities. It's certainly something that anyone can do. And I'm really in favor of it, because if you think about it, where are there young people with good skills but not a lot of employment because of the sort of natural, just not good environment for employment? Well, that's Europe. And then on the other hand, where there's a lot of need of people, that's Japan, because they still got a growing economy. They've got literally jobs that you want to hire, but you can't find people for that job, so you just give up or whatever. And there's a lot of instances where business needs to grow in a certain direction, but it can't because there's no employees to work, so it just doesn't grow. So, I mean, that's an opportunity. So certainly people in Europe should think, one of my favorite Japanese words is maemukini. Maemukini means forward thinking, but you can think aggressively and forward thinking in a forward thinking way about the idea of coming to Japan. nothing is impossible in this world. So certainly consider that. I met a guy, like just a normal guy from England, and he was like building houses with some company. So I mean, literally, I'm being the sort of technical person, I'm more familiar with the IT side of things. But even if you're a tradesman and you've got this trade and you can possibly come on a working holiday, by the way, that's a pure country has a working holiday relationship. So that's another thing you can do. Yeah. So I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. The problem is just getting a full-time visa to work here permanently. That usually requires a college degree, or possibly, depending on, you know, the industry, obviously they wouldn't expect you to have a college degree to be a home builder. So perhaps there's other routes, but start looking into it anyway.
And financially, there is already a Japanese radio moderator named Sasha.
I met a guy who was drinking in Tokyo, and there was a guy from where was somewhere in Europe, and he's just drinking next to me, and he's like, yeah, I'm here on working holiday, and I'm working as a waiter in this really nice hotel for 6 months, and then you have to change jobs. It's hard to switch over, but not impossible. I mean, it's a good first step anyway, working holiday.
Yeah. Thank you. I guess we have already over half an hour, so I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for having me. It was nice. Yep. And everyone have a great Christmas season and winter season. I'm sure Christmas is the most beautiful thing ever in Austria. I can't imagine how beautiful it is, but just snowy pines and, like, judging a country from impressions, well, all we have is beautiful views of mountains and then, you know, the Von Trapp family, things like that. So it's hard to get away from that.
Yeah, well, it depends on the year. I don't know if we will get much snow this year. We had a little bit more last year. But it's not not in the town. In the suburbs, it's snowy.
Okay.
Because we're in a valley. It's always a bit hotter here. Then thanks for the opportunity to interview again. And yeah, I hope we will see us in the future sometime in real life. That would also be cool.
Okay, thanks for having me, and talk to you next time.
Yeah, and this was it for this week. Thank you for listening to the show. I hope you are a little bit more informed now about how it's to live in Japan from, as I said, from Peter Payne, a real expert in it. I wish I would be able to, but on the other side, I must say, I'm already living in a country where it's a little bit difficult and where I'm already a foreigner, so I know how it is. Well, I hope you enjoyed it, as I said. You can, as you know, re-listen this show at the ZBA, cba.fro.at, and then /series/AcmeNiponAir, like the show is here now on the webpage, or when you have to listen it, thank you, and perhaps leave a like on the Facebook page, which I also have. It's also called AcmeNiponAir. It's a Facebook page. On Facebook, of course. On Twitter we are also, and well, we are also on Minds and on some other platforms. Just look up. We will listen next time. You can next week listen again to the show in German, then of course again a normal standard show then at the 13th of November. Am 30. November geht's hier weiter dann mit der nächsten Sendung. Thank you for having you as a listener. Thank you for having Peter Payne as being interviewed by me. And yeah. Jetzt wieder auf Deutsch. Danke fürs Zuhören. Ich wünsche euch wie jede Woche eine wunderschöne Woche, ein wunderschönes Wochenende. Und ja, ihr wisst es: Facebook gibt es, AcmeNiponAir, es gibt die CBA. Da kommt die Sendung in Kürze rauf zum Nachhören. Wenn ihr sie nachhört, liked sie doch einfach mal oder teilt sie. Das freut mich immer besonders. Und wir hören uns nächste Mal wieder am 30. November. Danke fürs Zuhören. Euer Sascha Pascal. Und jetzt kommt noch Angela mit Kirai no Yosora. Die einzige Angela, die nichts falsch macht. Ist auch eine Gruppe. Sind ja zwei Personen.